Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Welcome back to the second hour of Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you in Madison on Devil Radio 92.7 FM and WTTN 1580 AM. And in Waukesha on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits and all points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. And we're going right to the front lines of history in the making. And we're going to Ukraine, where it's being made in spades right now. Very good development. Joe Biden has now nominated a new ambassador to Ukraine from the United States. It's a woman named Bridget Brink. She's excellent. She has a lot of years' experience in the Foreign Service. She is presently the ambassador to Slovakia. Before that, she was stationed in Belgrade during the Balkan War, believe it or not, in the 90s. She was stationed in Georgia, not Atlanta, Georgia. I'm talking about Eastern European Georgia, just before the Russian invasion. She gets put in dangerous spots. The present country she's the ambassador to is Slovakia. It has a 60-mile border with Ukraine. The last Senate-approved ambassador to Ukraine was Marie Yovanovitch. Remember her? She was terrific. Trump fired her because she blew the whistle. She was starting to get calls about Giuliani sneaking around her, trying to engineer them over there to dig up dirt on Biden, false dirt, where they weren't going to get weapons. And Giuliani and Trump were colluding with the Ruskies. And she was top notch. I looked at a lot of her testimony during the impeachment trial a couple of years ago. She was honest and she was bewildered by this. So wait a minute, you know, the president is sneaking around me with Giuliani, and he fired her. He flat out fired her. Flat out fired her, had Pompeo fire her. That's changed now. The other good development in Ukraine is that on the weekend, on Sunday, Tony Blinken and Lloyd Austin, Secretary of State and Secretary of Defense of the United States, went to Kyiv to meet with Zelensky. That is big time. A number of prime ministers and presidents from Eastern Europe and NATO had gone there to meet with him several times, from Poland and Latvia and Lithuania. But when you have the Secretary of State and the Secretary of Defense going there, right when the Ruskies are genociding people, that sends a powerful signal. Bridget Brink sends a powerful signal. She's really an amazing woman. She's married to a guy who's also in the Foreign Service, and they have two children. And they just put her in, Bridget Brink, wherever there's danger. And she's been described by a friend of hers who was the ambassador to Poland, the guy, our ambassador to Poland, who said, quote, "Bridget Brink is not reckless, but fearless. She's not reckless, but she's fearless." And I'll tell you what, if you were plugged into Belgrade right during the Bosnian War, and in Georgia just before the Russian invasion, in Slovakia now, and going to Ukraine, this is a really tough ambassador, a good ambassador. And you know, these ambassadorships, the way they get handed out, they're real plums, but not in places like Ukraine. Some guy gives a lot of money to a presidential candidate, the candidate wins. They want to go to London, Paris, you know, they want to go to Berlin, they want to go to Rome, they want to go to Madrid. They want a stable Western country. I mean, you take Tom Barrett, he went to Luxembourg, which we've had people go to Prague. I mean, these are plum assignments. It's not a plum assignment right now to go to Ukraine. You have to have a lot of guts. You have to be not reckless, but fearless. And so what's wonderful about this is Biden is intensifying diplomatic pressure on the Ruskies. Sending an ambassador there, I mean, if this woman goes to Kyiv, Kyiv is under rocket attack. I mean, they got to make sure that she's safe. There may be times where she has to operate out of Poland or Romania, which is right nearby. But it's a very, very fine signal. And the Republicans had better not knife her. They've done a lot of things to hurt the United States because they think they're hurting Biden. If they do this, enough's enough. Then if I were Biden, I would just send her anyway. Say she's acting. She's my personal representative. And F you. That's what I'd say. But there you have it. We're going to the lines. Mark from the SAC, my friend. Thanks for calling, Mark. What's on your mind today?
That's interesting. You brought up Georgia. The nation rather than the state, because I seem to remember Karl Rove over in Georgia prior to the Russian invasion kind of encouraging the Georgians to provoke Russia so Russia could have the excuse of, you know, taking them over. That, and maybe I'm misremembering that. Maybe I'm assigning an evil intent to a evil little man that because, you know, Karl Rove is just another part of the axis of evil as far as, you know, evil in Republican politics. But I mean that it's just the Russians, you know, will look for any excuse to do what they want. I mean, they're blaming Ukraine for this, their invasion Ukraine. They say, well, Ukraine provoked us. Well, you know, Russia goes and takes over portions of the country. So, well, the majority of English, of Russian speakers here. Well, what if merry old England decided, well, there's a majority of English speakers in New England or in various places that in the original colony say, we're just going to take this over because they're speaking the mother tongue of English, and that's evidence of, you know, that they want to be English. And I, of course, that's not true, but there's plenty of Russian speakers in a lot of countries, and they don't necessarily want to go back to, you know, to Russia as part of their political allegiance. And maybe I've got that wrong. I could be wrong, but I think
you don't have that wrong. Let me just jump in to support what you're saying. As a matter of fact, there are Russian speakers, for instance, in Estonia, which has a border with Russia. They don't want to be part of Russia. You know, they like freedom. They like freedom of speech. They like freedom of religion. They want to be forced into Russia's church. And they also like the freedom in a capitalist democracy to do well financially. And you're absolutely right. In the Donbass region, there are some Russian speakers. But these Russian speakers have almost uniformly allied themselves. They're Ukrainians first. They don't want Russia. Nobody wants Russia because take a look at what Russia means. You come in. Putin and the oligarchs will steal 80% of the national wealth or the balance of trade surplus. Then if they will tap your phone. If you say something that insults them, they'll put you in prison. This is absolutely the same as what happened in Germany from 1932 through the Second World War. Hitler got in, said, I'm a man of peace. I just want peace, but you need a strong man. Just let me run the country for 4 years, dissolve the Reichstag, which is the Congress. They said, fine. The minute he got in, he arrested people who were opposed to him and killed them. And this business of saying, for instance, Putin saying Ukraine started it, Hitler goes into Poland. And he said, the Poles attacked us. And everybody goes, oh, well, if they attacked us, I guess we've got to go after them. Poland didn't attack Germany. What Hitler did was he set up a false flag operation. And he claimed that some people in a border unit had lobbed some shells into Germany. He lobbed his own shells into Germany. And at least he was smart enough not to kill Germans in doing it, whereas Putin blew up apartment buildings in Moscow to get power and said it was the Chechens. And his false flag operations sometimes result in Russian deaths. So he can then go in and claim that the other side started it. There is an exact one-to-one correspondence between Hitler and Putin with one exception. And that is, time has gone by, and Russia is no way as militarily powerful as Germany was in the 1930s. And we've been through this before. We've seen this movie before, and we didn't like this movie before, and we're not going to put up with it again. And Biden has done a masterful job unifying Europe. Even the Finns and the Swedes, even the people who are so supposedly neutral, people are taking refugees from Ukraine. People are sanctioning Russia. People are sending arms and humanitarian aid to Ukraine. He has united. You know, what kills me about this, I got to say this, what kills me about this is Russia under Yeltsin, as bad as he was, had sort of come around on their reputation. And if he had done none of this in Ukraine, and they were prosperous, Russia was getting prosperous, they could have had Nord Stream 2, made more money. And if the oligarchs stole a little less or not at all, Russia would have been seen in a generation or two as a very strong and respectable European country. And everybody in Russia would have done better. Everybody in Russia would have made more money. Everybody in Russia would have been respected in the West. Now, people in Russia are seen as international skunks. I mean, you know, there are composers, there are conductors, there are singers, there are speed skaters, there are hockey players, there are, you know, all sorts of Russian cultural and intellectual artists, and they're seen with dread and disgust. That's what this guy has done. We got to go to a break. The lines are live. Do not hang up. I'll get back to you right after the break. Right after the break. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more after the break.
Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.